It's time for the Rider Dynasty podcast. Let's go. Welcome to the Rider Dynasty Podcast with Ryan Bickerstaff, JJ Wenner, and your host, Michael Kloss.
Welcome, Riders! This is the Ride or Dynasty Pod, and we will be bringing you a recap of all the week's games and players to watch. Once again, I am joined by my esteemed colleague. What's the good word, Eric?
Hey, JJ, I'm not going to lie. I still don't know what that reference means. I'm pretty sure I'm too young for that reference, but happy to be here.
All right. Well, we have a lot in store for you tonight. Remember, give us a follow on Twitter at Rider Dynasty, and then like and subscribe our pod. If you leave a review, we promise to read it on air. We're going to start tonight with a segment from My Brother from Another Mother, as Michael will go ahead and introduce us to Kloss's Corner. We are then going to take a look at this past week and let you know which players you should scoop up and which players you should sell now.
And then after that, we're going to hear from our friend Ryan Bickerstaff about a Debbie prospect that you might not know of yet.
And then finally, we're going to hit you with some of the late breaking news that you need to know. Eric, are you ready to do this?
Absolutely. Let's get started.
All right. Well, Riders, I think if you check your GPS, you will see that you are about to enter Kloss's Corner. Take it away, Michael.
Thank you, guys. I'm Michael Kloss, and welcome to this edition of Kloss's Corner. So let's take a minute and talk about a polarizing player in fantasy football who has often been associated with the RB1 tag. I am talking about Arizona running back David Johnson. He's a 27-year-old running back who turns 28 in December. He started the season off pretty well. You know, he's always shown us that he's a dual threat that we've known about this last several years. This season, he's logged 82 totes for 302 yards and two scores, caught 32 passes for 323 yards and another three scores. It does seem like he's far removed from his 2015 campaign, where he rushed for 1,239 yards, 16 touchdowns, caught another astounding 80 balls for almost 900 yards. Now, I am not a Dynasty DJ owner, and I'm just trying to gauge everyone's feeling around him. It obviously doesn't seem too positive here at this point. Injuries are beginning to mount for the Cardinals running back, and the deadline trade for Kenyon Drake didn't exactly inspire confidence for those Johnson owners. Now, in Week 10, Johnson was actually benched after a costly fumble, and Drake took over, even if he didn't really exactly pad his own stat sheet. So the big question that I keep getting from a lot of people on Reddit and Twitter and all over the fantasy community is, what do you do with an underperforming, possibly injured lead back with a big name? And I feel like David Johnson fits all of that criteria. Are you thinking about buying him? Can you even sell? And are you essentially selling him if you decide to go that route at his all-time lowest value, especially considering he's locked up for the next several years through 2021 with the Cardinals? So here's the moment where you really have to stop and take a breath and not be too reactive here. So as you well know, there really aren't that many tacos in your dynasty league, we hope, right? You're listening to the Rider Dynasty podcast, so hopefully you've got a little bit of an edge here. Now, I'm plainly not buying. That's just me. So that's half of the equation I feel like I don't have to discuss. So let's decide that maybe you're a David Johnson owner and you'd like to sell. So, obviously, I understand. It might be difficult to sell an ailing superstar. And yes, I am still giving him that moniker. I just think that your sell high window is closed for now. Now, I still believe, like, again, he carries an elite to semi-elite tag, so if you are going to be dead set on selling him, I'd move him for a 2021st and another piece, nothing less. I understand if that's not what people are willing to give, then chill for a little bit. Maybe you look for an up-and-coming wide receiver like a Christian Kirk or a DJ Moore, two players I've always been high on this year, and I believe the rest of my compadres over at the Rider Dynasty team are too. Or maybe, depending on your needs, target a younger running back prospect. But again, I think you'd be lucky to get that. As I said, it's a little bit looking bleaker and bleaker for DJ, but he might flash enough the rest of the year to gain more value or entice you to keep him. While I might be content to get what I just described right now, the first in a piece, remember, it's also all team dependent too. But some of the big things that you need to hear and my advice right now is you need to do me a favor first and manage your expectations on DJ. So after saying all of this, what it comes down is to one thing. My take is DJ has lost a lot of his explosiveness, most likely because of, you know, that ankle injury. But to sell at his rock bottom price could and is most likely a large overreaction here. So he is a hold right now, unless someone comes through with your dream offer, which I think if it's your dream offer for him, it's okay to let him go. He just is admittedly hard to trust going forward. But stay the course, see if he can get a little bit more value in this season, and as rankings come out in the offseason, and as you start getting closer to times for your rookie draft, people tend to forget about some of the bad times during the middle of the year if he can perform towards the end. So, like I said, hold for now unless you get your dream offer. What do you think, guys?
Well, that is a great question, Michael. Eric, what are you doing if you have DJ on your roster?
I would be looking to sell if I could. I think it might be a tough time to do that, but if you can grab a first-round pick for him in 2020, I think there are a lot of running backs in next year's class that I would rather have over him. I was able to sell for an early first in one league, but I think that's going to be a hard ask.
Yeah, so did you let him go just for a simple first?
Yes, but it was a pretty early first. So I think it should be around a top five pick.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be willing to let go for just a first. Man, I don't know. It depends how early it was. Maybe top three. I think once you get into the top five, I don't know if there's anybody that I necessarily want over a proven performer. But, I mean, give me a couple weeks and I'll be, you know, draft happy and want all the picks I can get. But looking at the rest of that game, I mean, the two standouts for me were Kyler Murray and Kirk. I mean, Kyler is finding his rhythm. He looked great. He put up 324 yards and three TDs. And then Christian Kirk, man, 6 for 138 and three TDs. I swapped him onto a lineup literally like minutes before the game kicked off. I kicked out Juju and put him in. So I've been walking around the past couple days feeling like I'm a super genius.
That's pretty solid.
It is. But I mean, I also had him benched up until that point, so I don't know how smart I am. But, you know, looking at Arizona, I think people should try to scoop up Andy Isabella right now. I might be too late on this, but you better buy Isabella now. If you can get him for a second, do it easily. I mean, 2 games ago, he had one target for one reception for 88 and a touch. This past week, he had 3 targets. He caught all 3 for 78 yards. It seems like either he's got his head on straight and has figured it out, or they're figuring out how to use him. But I don't know. Are you buying Isabella?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think sometimes people want a little bit too immediate of production from their rookies. He's still was a second rounder less than a year ago. He's got plenty of time. He's starting to get some playing time. I would also be trying to buy him from owners who are a little underwhelmed so far.
Yeah, that's where you're really trying to get those impatient owners who look for their rookies to put out right away. Speaking of rookies who failed to do anything, I am throwing the parachute out. I'm throwing the chute on Rojo. I know people are excited that he's finally putting up points, but right now he's splitting carries with Peyton Barber still, and he was in on less than 50% of the offensive snaps for Tampa Bay. Based on what he put up last week, if you can get an early second rounder for him, pounce on it. If you can get higher, don't even think hit accept. What are you thinking, Eric?
Completely agree again. I saw some people trying to downplay the snap split, I guess, because he had made a mental error on a pass blocking play. But that's not a good thing. It doesn't really matter why you're not playing if you're not playing. And like I said, it took him too long to get past Peyton Barber. That's not something to be excited about. I'd get out.
Yeah, I agree. All right, next up on the docket is the Chargers versus the Raiders. What do you have, man?
Yeah, I thought Josh Jacobs has continued to look really good again this week. He's not somebody that we had a ton of college film on coming out of college last year. And that was always the question was, why are the Raiders taking him so high? Why was he flying up draft boards? But he's looked excellent, really explosive, and John Gruden loves to feed him the ball. So he's somebody I'm really excited about. But my question is, where does he rank among running backs at this point? Does he sneak his way into the top five or six guys for you?
You know what? Like, I have to say yes. I mean, right now, he's at 943 scrimmage yards and 7 TDs. He is on his way to the best rookie running back season of the past decade. Pretty much hands down. As long as he doesn't get injured, he's going to be the best running back of the past decade as far as production in his rookie year. So I'm buying him. If I have to trade an early first for him, I will. I have seen him produce at the NFL level. You know, that stands above whatever projections you might make about somebody else.
Right, I agree.
What did you think about Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler?
I like Melvin Gordon. I actually like both as players. I think it'll be interesting to see where they end up. Obviously, Melvin Gordon's almost definitely not going to be in San Diego / LA. I always want to say San Diego next season. But I think he's still a really good running back. He's going to get a big contract. Somebody's going to pay him to take the workload. He seems like he's been kind of forgotten about with so many other young running backs in the NFL right now that he might honestly be a good buy. He's still a feature back who should have a handful of years left. The question then is, does Austin Eckler take over as the feature back? Does Justin Jackson steal some carries next year? Or do they draft somebody? I'm a little nervous about Eckler, but if you're a contender, he's just been putting up points this year.
Yeah, Eckler is sneaky. I mean, Melvin Gordon is clearly back to being an RB1 after his holdout, but Eckler is still an RB2. I mean, he played 45% of the snaps. He continues to make the most out of his touches. I don't know if he's going to be the featured back next year. I don't know why he wouldn't be. I don't know if they're going to move on from Phillip Rivers at that point, which might throw that whole team into some disarray. But I'm buying Melvin and I'm buying Eckler if I can. All right, so Buffalo versus Cleveland. I mean, Josh Allen continues to show that although he's a bad QB in real life, he's good in fantasy. If you have him, though, he has a really tough stretch coming up. After facing the Dolphins and the Broncos, they have the Cowboys, Ravens, Steelers, and Patriots. Patriots would be in the championship game. So look to pivot if you have him in redraft. Try to, if it's not your trade deadline, see if you can trade him for somebody, or maybe you can make sure you get somebody off the waiver wire who has an easier schedule. And John Brown has continued to look good. Smokey Brown, putting up consistent points. Right now, he's a must play every week. I have him on a couple rosters, and I've been, you know, vacillating back and forth on whether or not I start him. But I mean, no matter what, he is putting up, what's about 50 plus yards a week, you know, on 4 to 5 catches. I don't know. That's a wide receiver too to me, and his floor is awesome. What do you think? Do you have either of them?
I don't, but I do agree with you. Think there's some truth to the fact that he's just somebody who's hung around at this point and gets overlooked because he doesn't have the name recognition. But when you're putting up points, you're putting up points. He's a good buy low for a contender.
Yeah, somebody else I'm looking to pick up is Devin Singletary. I mean, I love what he's been bringing to the table lately, albeit on too few touches. If he gets a workload, I really think he's going to produce. Now, this would be a hard scoop because whoever drafted him thinks they have a steal. But wait until the draft is close. Don't try to make moves now unless you need somebody for the playoffs. But wait until the draft gets closer. People fall less in love with players and more in love with draft picks. Maybe you could get him for a second and a third, or a second plus a player. But I think he's somebody definitely to get on board with.
As a Devin Singletary fan, would you buy him for a first?
No, because I don't think what he brings, I mean, unless I'm in a championship run, but even then, I don't think he's getting enough carries to be relied upon right now. So I'm looking more for the future, and I think I could find somebody in the first round. Somebody's going to fall to me, depending on where I draft, who will be equal to him. That's why I said a second and maybe a third, because you're not going to be able to replace him with a second round pick.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's looked better than I expected. I've been trying to sell him in one league where I have him because I'm not a huge fan of him. He doesn't feel like a high upside workhorse running back for the next 10 years, and I mean, that's an unfair standard to hold anybody to, but he's one of those guys where if he can flash a little as a rookie and you can get a first-round pick, I would sell for that. I don't think it's something I can do.
That's fair. Is it a league I'm in?
No, it's not. Oh, no, it's not.
I was going to say, we might have worked out a trade on air right now.
Yeah.
All right, what about Detroit and Chicago? Anybody you like in that game?
I like somebody who wasn't in that game. I really like Kerryon Johnson. I like how much they've fed him the ball this year when he was healthy. He wasn't scoring a lot of touchdowns, which made it seem like he wasn't performing from a fantasy perspective, but he's still a pretty good player. He showed out really well last year. I think he's going to come back next year and pick up where he left off as the workhorse running back, and everybody's kind of forgotten about him. Another guy I really like in that game is Marvin Jones as a buy for a contender needing a flex play. He's the sort of guy who, kind of like John Brown, veteran name, not exciting, but he'll put up points. And what I really like about him is he'll put up points in blow up games, which is something that I always like to target for playoff matchups. You're playing the best teams in the league. You need those random 25, 30 point blow ups from your flex.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, as the resident best ball league guy, Marvin Jones is a great best ball player. Because he'll be quiet for 3 weeks and, like you said, put up three TDs on a random Sunday. But I like random Marvin Jones, but I don't know if I'm necessarily... I think I just called him Random Jones, which would be kind of funny.
That's pretty fitting.
I think that's a good nickname. But yeah, what about Trubisky? Three TDs. Are you buying him?
No.
Yeah, no.
Hard no.
Yeah, that's a hard no. All right, on to the Giants and Jets. Now... the Jets won, obviously, because we are a dominant team. And I say we because I am part of the team. So, yeah, leave me alone. But, I mean, Daniel Jones looked good. I picked him up in one league to cover a bye week. I looked very smart again. But it was the Jets. I didn't pick him because he's Daniel Jones. I picked him because he was going against the Jets. What do you think? Is he, like, which young QBs would you take him over?
I'd take him over Dwayne Haskins at this point.
Oh, man. I would take Ryan Fitzpatrick over Dwayne Haskins at this point.
Yeah. Dwayne Haskins is a buy low. That's a buy low right there.
Yeah. Buy but low, no, stay I mean, low.
You might be right. No, I've been very impressed with Daniel Jones. He actually looks pretty confident. He makes some nice throws. I still don't think I would take him over most young QBs who have flashed recently. So somebody like Baker... Baker put up a really good 16 games or full season last year, but has struggled this year. I'd still rather have Baker's longer stretch of success, even if he's kind of come back down to earth. I'm not sure Daniel Jones is going to last. And like you said, it's against the Jets. It's a little concerning.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't want to, I was just about to say I would take Daniel Jones over Baker. I don't really like what I see from Baker. I know I've said it before. He's not anticipating throws. He's Alex Smithing it, which you should be familiar with, where he has to see somebody open before he throws it. It's not a good way to play quarterback. And I think that's why he's having so much issues with OBJ, because he's not trusting OBJ to get open and putting the ball where he needs to for OBJ to go get it. He's kind of waiting too long. But if there's a wide receiver or two that I am excited about out of this matchup, on the Giants, I love what I see out of Darius Slayton. I don't know how you feel, but I'm hoping he actually has like a few bad games to finish this year and people kind of forget that he flashed, so I can get him added on to some trades, like to balance it out. I say balance in quotations. I always ask for guys to balance things out who I really like.
Yep. Yeah, he's a good throw-in to kind of sweeten the deal.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't put up 10 for 121 and 2 again, though.
Yeah, that's a tough one to just sneak into the trade there.
Yeah, it doesn't slide under the radar. And the other guy who I really like Crowder. Jameson Crowder, man. I know he came from your beloved Washington football team, but he's going to be a stud with Darnold, a PPR machine, not in standard. For all you animals who play standard, I'm in a standard league and I want to shoot myself every time I set my lineup. but they have a real chemistry. I love Crowder. So what about Golden Tate? I like Golden Tate. I was high on him this offseason. I thought he was going to really have a good year. Then he got suspended, but I still believed in him. But, I mean, a broken clock is right twice a day, so I probably just got lucky on that one. If somebody came and offered you a first for Tate, would you take him? Would you give him up?
Absolutely. I would sell for a second, I think. I mean, he's 31 at this point.
Yeah, I know.
I just don't know how much he has left. He's obviously still good. Daniel Jones likes him. But you've also got Sterling Shepard lurking. I don't really know what's going to happen there, but it's hard to imagine him keeping up this pace with Shepard healthy, with Slayton improving. It gets a little crowded, and I don't know if I want a 31-year-old receiver in a crowded wide receiver group for Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I don't know, man. Yeah, I don't trust Shepard at all. He's the Eric Lindros of wide receivers. For anybody over the age of 35.
yeah, one flew right over my head.
Yeah. Great player, but has an eggshell for a skull. I don't know if he's going to survive too much longer in the NFL. So the blowout game where every single player looked good this weekend, Baltimore versus Cincinnati. What are your thoughts?
Lamar looked great again. I love him. I'd love to say he's a scoop, go out and buy him, but what the heck would he cost right now? I mean, I would give up as high a pick as you can give in a super flex league. I don't think you're getting him for that.
No, I mean, we would have to talk about multiple firsts. How many firsts would you give up for Lamar? Two? Three?
I think you have to do two.
Well, yeah, you're not getting him for less than two.
Yeah.
But would you sell? You have Lamar in a league, don't you?
Yeah, I've got him in a few leagues. I don't have him in any two QB leagues.
So if you had him in a super flex league, how much would you sell him for two first-round picks? Two 2020 firsts, random.
Random? No. If I had confidence they were falling in the top half, I think I'd go for that.
Okay. Yeah, I think I would definitely sell, as long as I had a solid QB on my roster already and I could look to replace him with one of those firsts. I love Lamar. He looks so good. I had a student today who just, more than anything, wanted to show me that run on YouTube from this weekend. And I watched it like three times with him, and he got so excited because I was excited. But it was amazing.
That was nuts. I mean, full
speed. But he's going to be broke. Somebody's going to break him. It always happens.
It does. And I don't know if this is a real thing, but you look back on somebody like RG3.
Yeah.
RG3 was fast, but RG3 looked like a baby deer at times where he couldn't turn. He got all like wobbly. Lamar Jackson's a lot more like Michael Vick. He's just absurdly elusive, and I know Vick had injury problems, but you watch Lamar play and maybe he's just been lucky. He's incredible at just avoiding those direct shots. He's just on another level athletically.
I agree. And more than anything, like, except for Patriots, I hope nobody ever gets hurt. I want Lamar to play a full 30-year career, you know, never get hurt. I just don't know how much I would invest in him. So if you offered him to me and I had, say, a mid-first and an earlier first, I wouldn't give you those two for him, even in a super flex. I would take my shot and look elsewhere to build, only because I'm looking for somebody who I don't have worries about. And as a father, I'm way too anxious when I see him play.
Yeah, that's fair. He's a little risky.
So who else in Baltimore, Cincinnati, man?
I like AJ Green. AJ Green was on pace for an 80 catch, 1,200 yard, 10 touchdown season the last time we saw him playing. Is he getting hurt because he's older? Maybe. Will he come back the same? I don't know. But nobody's talking about him. I think everybody wants to sell as though his age and his injuries aren't factored into his price already. And I think there's a fair chance he comes back and is still AJ Green for maybe another season, maybe two. That's something that I like if you're a team trying to focus on next year but have a quick turnaround.
I can see that. I have a lot of shares. According to the sticky board, AJ Green is my most held player, unfortunately, only because I refuse to sell him for less than I think he's worth, which is why I'm horrible at trading. But
what's that selling point?
Before this year, it was a first plus. Yep. I wanted a first round pick plus something else, plus a piece. And people were offering a second straight up. So I refused to sell. I would rather have him on my roster when he retires than to sell him for a second right now. And I know that's stupid, and I know that Dynasty people will yell at me for that, but I hate selling people before. If I'm not going to get value, I might as well enjoy the player who I like.
No, I think that's fair. And I also think AJ Green comes back next year and has that 80 catch, 1,200 yard season. He's, one, already made himself worth a second round pick, and two, I don't think anybody's even really that surprised by that.
Yeah.
Like, it's AJ Green, and he was great the last time we saw him. It's not that weird if that happens. A second round pick, reality is, probably isn't going to ever get you a season that good.
I agree. So I'm going to go through the next three games kind of quick. Kansas versus Tennessee. Kansas City versus Tennessee. Mahomes looked great. Tyreek looked great. He got loaded with targets. Mecole Hardman looked good, but just be wary of buying him. I mean, he's only getting 22% of the snaps, so he's being super efficient. Derrick Henry looked amazing. I'm still not buying Derrick Henry, even though I have him on a team. Atlanta versus New Orleans was a snooze fest. I don't even care who's on those teams right now because I'm so mad about them. Miami versus Indy was another just dull game. There were a lot of really bad football games this weekend. Devontae Parker, though, is actually putting up some points. If you can scoop him where you can. I mean, I know I have him in a league, and I tried to sell him to a lot of teams, and nobody wants to buy him. So
yeah, you tried to sell him to me.
I did try to sell him to you for 2/3, and you didn't want him. Even though he's putting up wide receiver 2 numbers. But
yeah, I've just never been a Devontae Parker
fan. And I don't think many people are. So that's why I'm saying buy him. Nobody's putting any value on the guy. I think if you throw somebody a third, you can probably get him easily. So go out, try to get him. Tell me about Aaron Jones right now. I want to know about Aaron Jones.
So Aaron Jones has been on quite the tear this season. He's had a pretty weird year. He's not getting a ton of carries. Only one game with 20 carries. He does have a few with 20 touches since he's caught some passes, but no more than 13 carries in the last five games. Despite that, he still has 14 touchdowns this season in only 10 games. Helps to play with Aaron Rodgers, I guess. Off to quite a tear, but that makes me nervous too. I don't know if you can keep that touchdown pace up. If you're a contender, you might as well keep riding that hot hand, but I'm looking to sell. If somebody thinks he's a top eight dynasty running back, I would sell them.
Man, I'd buy him. I'm buying Aaron Jones wherever I can. He is that good. I think if anybody's holding him back, it's Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers insists upon throwing the ball and audibling out of runs. I think this is the first year where he's been sort of following a game plan. And I think that's why Aaron Jones, and I mean, let's be honest, Jamal Williams isn't looking too bad either. But I think those are two quality backs, in my opinion.
I agree. I mean, I don't hate Aaron Jones. I think he's a pretty good player. He's in a good offense. But Jamal Williams is also a decent player. And Jamal Williams, I don't think, is going away. I don't think Aaron Jones is going to be somebody that the Packers ever treat like a complete feature back. And I think that holds him back from being one of those top seven or eight running backs that I think are in another tier. He's in that next group down.
Fair enough. Anyone else from that game you want to talk about?
DJ Moore is kind of the opposite of Aaron Jones for me right now. Aaron Jones, a lot of touchdowns. DJ Moore, almost no touchdowns, not just this season, but in his career. He had a 9-catch, 120-yard game this past week, and he's on pace for a 96-catch, 1,200-yard season, but with only two touchdowns. I think a 96-catch, 1,200-yard season would be a huge deal for a guy who was a first-round pick a year ago and had a promising rookie year, but it doesn't feel like he's being talked about that much, probably in large part because he's not scoring the touchdowns and Christian McCaffrey's stealing all the hype. I would be buying DJ Moore.
Yeah, well, you might not know Ryan from the pod as well as I do, so Ryan has not shut up about DJ Moore. he has the biggest DJ Moore crush of anybody I know, and he's really been singing his praises all off season. So yeah, this pod is big on DJ Moore, and you couldn't be more right. I've been buying DJ Moore wherever I can. I love DJ Moore. Yeah, he's a great player, and I can't wait to see what he does moving forward.
Would you take him over Christian Kirk, who we talked about earlier?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that. They seemed kind of lumped together coming into this year, but I think DJ Moore separated himself.
Yeah, and he's younger than Christian Kirk, isn't he?
I believe you are correct.
I mean, I don't know for sure, but I believe he is. Somebody who's not younger than Christian Kirk is Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen is getting a lot of run. I thought this was going to be the Ian Thomas year, but if you need a tight end, man, you know, favorite of the pod, Greg the Leg Olsen, get him on, pick him up. Pick him up if he's on the waiver wire. If somebody lets him slide to cover a bye, get him on your team. All right, so let's look at these last two games this week from Sunday. Rams versus Pittsburgh. I mean, I went on the pod, 4 weeks ago and said that McVay was a fraud, that his offense was a fraud. And that they were completely overrated. It was my super hot take for our episode. But I don't buy him. He's not making the adjustments, and that team is sucking. Goff just, he's not growing. He's actually regressing as a quarterback. He needs somebody in his ear telling him what to do, and that is sad. But there is no way I'm investing in Jared Goff or any of the pieces. I have Cooper Kupp, who gave me squadouche this week. I mean, he put up zero. Zero. He had four targets. He caught none of them. If you can't get Cooper Kupp the ball, I don't even want to talk to you as an offense. Same thing goes for Juju. I mean, what's going on with Juju?
Yeah, I think Juju's been rough. I think you just got to ride it out with him. I don't like Mason Rudolph. I think Juju will bounce back. Last week I compared him to Amari Cooper. Look at Amari Cooper in Dallas right now. I don't know if Juju needs a change of scenery or not, but I think the targets, the receptions, everything will come. He's still only 23. I mean,
I don't care.
He's crazy young.
I don't even want to talk about it. I'm too mad. All right, Minnesota versus Dallas. I'm done with Juju. I love Alexander Madison.
Jeez.
Sorry, I love Hamilton, and that goes with it. Madison's awesome. It's too late to buy low on him. Nobody is selling. I tried to buy him probably 2 weeks too late and failed everywhere. Dak is a stud. I live in Eagle country, and everybody hates me because I say that. I love Dak Prescott. Buy him wherever you can. He is a great quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. He's better than Wentz.
A lot better than Wentz. He is a solid, smart, athletic quarterback. And I don't know. I mean, he's making Cobb look great, which I'm so happy about because everybody loves Randall Cobb. If you don't love Randall Cobb, you don't like pizza, cheese, or ice cream, or puppies, or America. So you can go pound sand.
Wow.
That's a big statement.
That is. Well, that's bold.
Do you not like? Do you like Randall Cobb?
I mean, I like Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb's cool.
There you go, right? Like, you don't have to love him, but nobody hates Randall Cobb.
I just didn't know people did love him that much.
People should love him that much.
You really love Randall Cobb.
There's nothing wrong with Randall Cobb. He has two Bs, like a corn cob. What's more American than corn cobs?
Can't argue with that.
Thank you. And Amari Cooper looked great, as usual. I'm not a Cooper fan. I won't buy Cooper, but man, he looks good. Anything to add about Cooper?
He's Juju, 3 years down the road. Juju's coming back.
Yeah, all right. Keep going with Juju. Well, you know, I'm kind of tired of current players. So before we get to the news, our resident Devi Dirtbag, Ryan Bickerstaff. Dirtbag is an Air Force term. I'm not actually calling my buddy a dirtbag, but Bickerstaff has pulled some dirt on an interesting prospect. So if you play any Devi, pay attention.
Hey Riders, Ryan here. I may not be one of the main anchors on the pod anymore, but I'm still here to create content and help you win championships. My main focus has switched to scouting college players, and with this new segment, the plan is to bring you a weekly Devi prospect who is draft eligible this year to keep an eye on as we near the end of college football season and transition into rookie draft season. I won't be talking about the DeAndre Swifts, Jerry Judys, and CeeDee Lambs of the world here, though. We all know about those guys, and we know they're going to be drafted very highly in rookie drafts everywhere. My aim is to bring you under-the-radar players and sleepers whose names may not be known to many, yet. So, I'm kicking this thing off with one of my favorite sleepers at wide receiver in this incoming class, and that's James Prochet, a redshirt senior from SMU, which is a school known to produce NFL talent at the receiver position. Current SMU receivers in the pros include Cortland Sutton, Emmanuel Sanders, Cole Beasley, and Trey Quinn. Prochet is next in line to keep this trend going. Sure, he's not the biggest guy on the field at 6 feet tall, 193 pounds, nor is he the fastest, but Prochet checks all the rest of the boxes to be a productive player at the next level. A first-team All-AAC selection in 2018, Prochet is on track to repeat this honor again in 2019. He has shown clear year-to-year progression, both statistically and on film, over the course of a ridiculously productive career at SMU, where he has collected over 250 receptions and 3,500 yards and counting. Prochet also has some of the best hands in the nation. His hand-eye coordination is just crazy, and he makes those one-handed circus catches look easy. In an interview with the Pro Football Network from July 2019, Prochet compared himself to Jarvis Landry of the Cleveland Browns. When I watch this film, I can see it too. The top end speed isn't great, but Prochet's game is about his shiftiness, advanced route running ability, and amazing hands, much like Landry's. This is a smart, hardworking player who strives to get better, and he's a leader. He has a knack for making a big play when it's needed, and he performs at a high level when the lights are the brightest. I would point to Prochet's performances against TCU and Memphis this year, and also what he did against Michigan and UCF in 2018. Not all those games were wins for the Mustangs, but the stage and level of competition didn't matter to Prochet. These traits cannot be taught, and as a kicker, he's not afraid to get in there and block either. Prochet is a very interesting prospect who's flying under the radar, though his draft stock is rising. I see him being a solid slot receiver for a pro team, though he can also line up on the boundary. But he will bring a strong, reliable presence over the middle. I'm projecting him to be selected in the middle rounds of the 2020 NFL Draft, and with the class of 2020 being as star-studded as it is from a dynasty perspective, Prochet could very well be available in the third round of rookie drafts. He'll be a steal. Now, back to your regularly scheduled programming.
All right, I'm definitely going to be picking him up in some Devy leagues this offseason. Well, actually, I guess he's coming out for the draft, Eric. So
yeah, that's got me all pumped up for 2020. I gotta start my scouting here.
Absolutely. With some, I'm in a bunch of Devy leagues, and he's not on anybody's roster, so that means he'll be available in the rookie draft. So let's get to the news. Petey Sunshine says that Tyler Lockett won't miss any time. I tend not to believe Petey Sunshine. Pete Carroll tends to over-exaggerate, or I should say under-exaggerate, anything negative about his players. I'm a little bit worried about Lockett, but we'll see what happens. Eric, Drew Lock resumed practicing today. So I guess that means Brandon Allen won't be starting too many more games. How many games do you think Lock is going to play this year?
I think he's good to go the rest of the way as soon as he's healthy. If assuming he's, you know, fully cleared to play, he should be their guy the rest of the year. They have to find out what they have with him as early as possible.
Do you think he's going to win any of those games?
Not really.
Yep, me neither. All right. Chris Herndon, after an amazing rookie season last year, was on IR, finally came off of IR. I was excited. Now he's back on IR after breaking some ribs. That knocked him out of the game last week. If you have Chris Herndon, are you selling him?
No, I think injured players are often a hold for me. Nobody really wants to buy them at that point, and I think a lot of times people come back just as strong after the injury. I doubt you could get much for Chris Herndon at this point. Just hold.
Absolutely. Vernon Hargreaves was dismissed from the team for lack of effort after Christian Kirk made him look like a fool. What do you think? Should he have been cut for slacking on the field a little bit?
I mean, it wouldn't have happened if he wasn't struggling so much in his career already. I say let him go.
All right. I hope the Jets sign him. We need cornerbacks. So going on to Atlanta, who upset my Saints this weekend, knocking me out from my suicide pool. Devonta Freeman could miss about 2 weeks. Are you buying Brian Hill as a replacement?
For the short term, sure. I wouldn't really give up anything of value for him. I don't think the Falcons 2020 lead back is on their roster.
What about Quadri Olison?
Same story. I'm just not tempted by either of those guys.
Tempted by the fruit of another. So for the hoop and the harm, Austin Hooper is out with an MCL injury. Is that causing you to panic? Do you have Hooper on any rosters?
I do not have Hooper on any rosters.
No!
Although, yeah, well, could be a good or bad thing. But, I mean, if he's going to miss some time, I think he's a good buy. He's one of those guys that just never excited people for one reason or another. But he's been killing it all year. He's kind of a sneaky buy at tight end. He's still young.
I think you heard his feeling. I think Mrs. Hooper would disagree that he fails to excite anyone. Well, Riders, it's that time when we bring this pod to an end. Remember, give us a follow on Twitter at Rider Dynasty. Like and subscribe our pod. If you leave a review, we will promise to read it.
Have a great week, everybody. Best of luck this weekend.
Boat drinks, everyone. Boat drinks.
Thank you for listening to the Ride or Dynasty podcast. If you have enjoyed the pod, please subscribe and leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Follow the guys on Twitter at Ride or Dynasty. You can follow JJ at JJ Wenner. Ryan is at BixPixFFB. And Michael is at Michael S. Kloss. Check out our website, rideordynasty.com. And remember, we have your back.
Your reputation far exceeds your skills, Mammy Rammer.